Hi, this is Trevor Settman, founder of the Story Project Diverse Voices and associate professor of communication here at the Community College of Baltimore County. Support for this project comes from the National Communication Association, the Community College of Baltimore County, and the Mellon Foundation, all proud sponsors of the Story Project Diverse Voices, a student faculty mentoring program leading to a podcast production of students' stories of diversity.
Diversity means a lot of different things. Many people hear diversity and think of religion, race, nationality, and gender. But for me, diversity is so much more than just being skin deep. I'm adopted. I was born in Daegu, South Korea, and this was something that I struggled to accept for most of my young life. I was adopted by Caucasian parents, and I have three siblings, one of which is also adopted from South Korea. But most of my family is Caucasian. Growing up, I got bullied a lot by my peers, strangers, and even family, simply because they didn't understand the differences between myself and them. Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm a legal studies student here at CCBC, and this is my story. I remember when I was 6 or 7 years old, my sister told me that I should just go home because I was adopted, and in her eyes, my parents weren't my real parents. This was something I will never forget being told, more than once at that, because this is something that helped me build myself up to be an independent woman. Although now my sister and I are very close, it wasn't without a few hurtful things said over the years. This racial disparity between me and my family resulted in me beginning psychotherapy at the age of 6 years old because I wasn't sure of how to cope with what was going on. I felt like the black sheep and like I had nowhere to turn to. Feeling like the black sheep began to fuel my rebellious stage, beginning at just 13 years old. I was a troubled teenager from the age of 13 until I got pregnant at just 16. I experimented with drugs and became addicted to hardcore drugs like heroin, cocaine, prescription pills, marijuana, alcohol, etc. at only 13 years old. I drank, snuck out, lied to my parents, had sex, and did everything that an average rebellious teenager does. I wanted to be cool, according to the friends I had at the time, who were all older, so I felt the need to fit in and do everything that they were doing, like drinking, smoking, doing drugs, and having sex. I remember when I was 14, I overdosed for the very first time. I overdosed on synthetic marijuana, and I felt like nobody loved me or wanted me because that is what I was always told when I was being bullied. I hid this until now. This is the first time I ever truly talked about it outside of the person that I was with when it happened. I didn't feel like I could call my parents or rely on them for this because I felt like I was just a burden and that they already didn't want to deal with me, and I felt like this would only make it worse. As I got older, I didn't think about being adopted. That was until the COVID-19 pandemic, when I was reminded how much we are truly still segregated by the color of our skin or our nationality. I came to America when I was 9 months old, on November 11th of 1998. Yet, during the COVID pandemic year, I experienced more racism than I did throughout my entire life. I was told to leave and go back to China, even though I'm Korean, that my family started COVID, that I was the reason behind this entire pandemic. We spent a really long time in quarantine. At that time, my fiancé was in the Army National Guard, so it was just me while also being pregnant and my daughter. I was doing online learning and assisting her with her online learning. I went through most of my pregnancy alone due to him being activated for the pandemic. I contracted COVID twice throughout the entire pandemic. I've been accused of starting the pandemic simply due to the fact that I'm Asian. Yet, I've lived in Maryland for as long as I can remember. My fiancé has been my best friend for a really long time. He's seen me through my best and my worst, and we ended up having a beautiful little girl who we call Isabella. He also stepped up when it was most difficult to be a father figure to my daughter, Madeline. I met my daughter's biological father at the age of 16. We began dating March 21st of 2015, and I found out I was pregnant with my daughter on May 31st of 2015, just a week before my 17th birthday. When I was 17, I gave birth to my best friend, my daughter. Prior to getting pregnant, I was an addict. He was an alcoholic who was also 23 years old while I was 16. And like most teenagers, I thought I was in love. I was with him a little under 2 years, and those 2 years truly changed my life forever. I was abused. He never hit me, but I was verbally, mentally, emotionally, and physically abused. I'll never forget the night that I thought he was going to kill me. I was about 28 weeks pregnant, and he grabbed my hair as I was walking away to take a walk, and he slammed my head into the cement. He dragged me inside and choked me until I passed out. I remember thinking, this is it. He's going to kill me. And I accepted it. He beat me down so badly emotionally that I felt like I could no longer fight, and I was ready to give up. Once I had my daughter, though, I stayed to try to be a family. But the day that he tried to kill me by slamming me into a wall and putting a knife to my throat was the day I decided to leave him. This is when everything changed, and I realized I deserved better, and I needed to do better and find better for my daughter. I realized that she also deserves to feel safe. Maddie gave me an entirely new outlook on diversity. You see, when she was 2 years old, she was abused in daycare, which led to permanent disabilities. She is wheelchair-bound, nonverbal, dependent on a feeding tube, and is blind, all of which I struggled to cope with. I had no experience dealing with diverse abilities, only looking different from my adoptive family. Madeline was left with a babysitter who called me to pick her up. Thankfully, I worked in healthcare, so the nurses around me began to help calm me down and inquire if Madeline was conscious and breathing. It was discovered that she was unconscious but breathing, so we told the babysitter to call 911. Fast forward a few months, and it was later discovered that the babysitter was addicted to drugs, and nobody truly knows what happened that day because her story has continued to change. Her most recent story is that she was frustrated with my daughter because she was moving during a diaper change, and she grabbed her by her shoulders and slammed her head into the ground. My daughter is now permanently disabled. She's blind, has a feeding tube, quadriplegic cerebral palsy, she's wheelchair dependent, had a stroke, has epilepsy, and more. Gradually, I have learned how to care for a differently abled child, which has taught me patience and how to be creative in showing her how to do things. It also taught me how to grow up quickly. We spent 357 nights in 2018 between Johns Hopkins Hospital and the Kennedy Krieger Institute. We were about 10 days into the incident when our resident doctor, Ryan, came in to tell me to begin to plan for the worst and that they didn't believe she would survive off of life support. This is the first time in my entire life I saw my mother cry. I remember vividly that she got up silently and walked out, and after I was finished speaking to the doctors, I went to find her. I found her sitting on a bench downstairs crying. I sat next to her, and we just cried together for a few hours. However, after Maddie's first brain surgery, she was taken off of life support and survived. She went to Kennedy Krieger Institute for rehab, and I'm a firm believer that the amazing doctors at Johns Hopkins and the therapist at Kennedy Krieger saved my child's life. She is now 6 years old, and while she is disabled, she is going so much further and reaching so many more milestones than any of us had ever truly anticipated. I never thought that as a young mom, I would ever be where I am today. I'm a mom to two beautiful little girls. I work from home for an amazing company, and I am pursuing a degree in a field that I am very passionate about. On top of all of that, I am finally getting married to the love of my life in September of 2022. Let alone having a daughter who has severe and permanent disabilities. But here I am. It has taught me so much love. Love that I never imagined to be possible. It has taught me patience. It has taught me acceptance and inclusion. But most importantly, it's taught me how to fight. I now also have an 18-month-old daughter as well. And while signing up my youngest in co-curricular activities, I realized there's not many activities that are inclusive to children with disabilities. This was something that I decided I wanted to be more vocal about. Diversity for those with disabilities, from autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, blind, deaf, etc. We spent most of 2018 in the hospital between rehab and the trauma center for follow-ups, trying to assist my daughter the best that we could. I decided to go back to college in 2019 while staying home with my daughter because she needed full-time medical care, and due to the situation, I wasn't comfortable leaving her. While at CCBC, I got to experience a lot of really new things. However, one amazing activity that truly stuck with me was the children's developmental class. I was able to volunteer with this program and see firsthand how CCBC integrated these amazing children into different and fun experiences, and how they offered services to their families as well. This is truly something that touched me in many ways. I recently changed my major to legal studies because I want to be the voice for those who do not have one. My daughter's incident has inspired me to fight for more and to expect more from our legal system. From as long as I can remember, I was always a huge advocate in letting the legal system handle things. That was until it failed my daughter. My daughter's abuser served only 9 months in jail, while my daughter is left with permanent disabilities. This was my fire. This showed me how much we needed to change our system to protect those who need it instead of protecting those who caused the hurt. As a community, we are so fast to jump to conclusion and act without thought, and I want to be the end to that. I want to encourage those who are failed to fight and to know that someone out there really does want to hear their stories and they want to help them. Throughout everything I experienced at just the age of 23 years old, from having a daughter who was abused and left permanently disabled to having racist remarks made simply because of how I look, I used it to build who I am today. I used it to give me a reason to continue fighting, a reason to help anyone and everyone that I possibly can. I am currently a legal studies student because I want to make a difference. My goal is to finish and get a law degree and be a child advocate, to be the voice for those kids like my daughter who do not have one.
Sarah, what does it mean to raise a child with disabilities, and what role does that play in your life here at CCBC?
Raising a child with disabilities means having patience and unconditional love, but it also means having the strongest support system in the world. Without my support system, from my mom to my grandmother, my fiance, my other child, and the friends that we have, I wouldn't be where I am today. It means knowing how to separate your feelings from your emotions and knowing how to be a better parent because of what happened and for what happened. My life at CCBC, I've kind of taken on a huge mom role in all my online classes. I'm a solely online student due to the fact that my daughter requires 24-hour medical care. And so it's become so much easier to just be home with her, and everything that CCBC has to offer, like those developmental classes, means that I can take my child to those, but I can also multitask work and going to class. For anybody that's currently experiencing something similar to what I am, I want them to know that you're not alone. It's scary and it's hard, and it's something that I wish I could say got easier, but it doesn't. You just learn how to cope with what's going on and how to move on with your life and how to live your life for your child instead of living your life without your child or thinking about what they can't do. You focus on what they can do and what they can accomplish and realize that there really are no boundaries for them.